Welcome back to Out of Focus. I'm Shannon Stewart, and today I am so excited for you to meet Annie Dixon. Annie is a wife, a mom to twin girls, a musician, and someone who has learned firsthand what it means to lean on God for strength in every season. In this episode, she shares about motherhood, marriage, identity, and faith in a way I know will inspire and encourage you. Let's dive in. Annie, I am so excited to have you on the podcast. I believe we started following each other on Instagram about a decade ago. It may have been longer. And we are finally meeting virtually. We've never met face to face. So I am just so tickled that you are joining me today. Thank you so much.
I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me.
You have an incredible story, and I'm excited to share it with the listeners. Can you tell us a little bit about who Annie Dixon is, beyond being Colton's wife and being a mother?
Yeah, I've gone through different things. I've done makeup. I modeled back in college to help pay bills. And I have led worship. I just want to do what God has asked me to do. And so there's like different seasons of different things. I feel like in all of these different ventures I've tried, I've learned a lot. I feel like God's used it in different ways. And I just endeavor to be a woman after God's own heart and be where I am today and where he has me.
I love that. That's so beautiful. And I just learned something. I never knew you modeled, but I can definitely see that. You're stunning. I've always thought you were a beautiful person inside and out.
Oh, thank you. You are too.
Thank you. You and Colton have such a beautiful story. Can you tell me how you met and how did you know that he was the one? A lot of women struggle with that. They're like, how do I know? Because they're not 100%. So can you tell us about your story?
Yeah, absolutely. We met very unexpectedly. It was a time when I was not expecting to meet anyone. I know you hear that all the time. It happens when you least expect it, but that is what happened. But we kind of met through mutual friends at this small show in LA and started dating a few months after. And even during that time, from when I met him until we started dating, I held it very loosely. I was like, there's the only way this could even happen. It has to be God. We lived in different states. He was touring with when I was living in California. And then God just brought it back around. But I really think the most important time in that season when you're looking for who you're going to marry in those next steps is really just seeking God and staying in there with him and not looking to any guy for your confidence or your security, but really being rooted in God and just know, you know what, like I hold this loosely. If it's God, awesome. If it's not, awesome. I'm good. And I really had to do that with that specifically because it was so out of my hands. And I really only wanted it if it was God. But yeah, I feel like seeking God, being in the word is just so important so that you're like discerning things and you're not making decisions on emotions, but rather just being led by God and what he has for you. And you just see things so much more clearly that way.
That's so powerful. What you said had so much depth. So you have twins, and twins are a double blessing, but they are also a double challenge. What has surprised you most about raising them?
I always wanted to be a mom and found out it was twins. It was such a sweet surprise. It was not on my radar at all. I did wonder if I was having a girl, but I did not know it was going to be two girls. So it's such a sweet blessing. Yeah, definitely uncharted territory, but it's been a challenge, but also the most fulfilling thing. I feel like womanhood, there's a negative connotation with it, but I feel like it's with anything. Like you could get your biggest dream, but it would also be your biggest challenge, but it's also so fulfilling. You know what I mean? And I feel like with this, it kind of just strips away, like, you know, everything falls out and then what's left is what really matters, who you really are, what your priorities really are. It really helps shift out your priorities. So I've just grown a lot. I remember times walking up the stairs being so tired and being like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, almost laughing at how crazy this is and just being like, I'm having to stand on this like never before. But God's so faithful, and man, my heart does go out to mothers, and especially when they have little ones, because I know it's just a challenge. It's late nights. It's nonstop, but I know his grace is sufficient. And I always take a moment to pray if I see a mom in that situation, because it's just a challenge, but it's so beautiful and it's very meaningful. And I just feel very honored that I get to be these girls' mom. So
That's precious. I know a lot of moms can relate about being tired. I remember going to my sister's house because I was a nanny for her for 8 years. I watched my nephew in 6 years. I watched my niece, and I watched her one morning. She about put salt in her coffee because she was so tired. She thought it was sugar. And I was like, Summer, that's salt. I'm sure a lot of moms that can relate, but it is a blessing, just like you said. How do you balance being a mom and still making space for your own passions, like your music and your personal calling?
Yeah, discipline is huge. And deciding, okay, I just realized I have so much little time now that I have to really get serious about where it's going to go and how I'm going to do it. I'm way more disciplined with my time than I've ever been. I still could always get better. There's always room for growth. It's just taking that time with God, that quiet time with God, seeking out what He has. And then I feel like He just kind of realized what I really need to be doing. And then I let go of some side ventures that I had going. I like let a lot of things go to focus on the girls. But then too, it's like, okay, if I'm going to do something else, I just need to know that it's what I'm supposed to be doing or what I feel like I'm supposed to be doing or what I really want to do. It's kind of a matter of waking up early, sometimes before the kids, or just kind of prioritizing that time. And you get a little extreme. It can feel extreme. Okay, I've got 20 minutes. I'm going to listen to my podcast right now. I'm going to read. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to watch TV until this time or this day. And it can feel extreme, but I think it's just kind of sometimes what it takes to get everything done. And the people I listen to do it this way. So I've also just learned a lot from different people who are doing what I would want to do, or I really respect what they're doing and the way they do it, and really learning about that time management and your priorities.
That's so important. Having balance too. That's awesome.
Yeah.
For moms listening, I'm sure there's a lot listening that they feel like they're stretched thin. What encouragement would you share to them?
I think give yourself grace. Try not to compare yourself to other moms. You're never seeing like the true picture of anything. Like social media can be so misleading. And I don't think it's like on purpose. I think it's just we only show what we want to show, and that's okay. But just try not to compare yourself. Know that you being there for your kids is what you need to do, and really get that strength from God. I would say prioritize, even if you can read like one scripture that you're meditating on for the day, or put 5 minutes in of like just prayer and quiet time with God, 15 minutes, whatever you have, or press play on a sermon where you're just like getting the word in you every day. I would say that's so huge. It's going to fill you up more than you think it is. And it's the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So when we have the word in us, that's what's going to come out. You don't have to do it all in your own strength. I think it's really difficult to do that, actually. Give yourself grace. Do what you need to do. There's nothing wrong with having help. If you have help from family, just that support. I think the goal is like a peaceful environment at home. And so it's like whatever that takes. But I will say even just 5 minutes with God in His word will really help set the tone. And it's not something like, oh, if I don't do it, it's what an opportunity we have to come to God. And I really believe He will fill us. And He understands the demands of that too. I believe He'll meet us there. And it really helps.
That's so true. There's so much power in His word. And I think sometimes we don't realize it, but He is the word of God, Almighty God. He can fill us with His power to do things that we can never do on our own. And actually, He can multiply our time when we choose to honor Him and give Him time in our lives. And yeah, I agree with that. Colton has such a visible platform. Some people may not know who he is. So would you tell us who he is? And I know he was on a show, so maybe something about that. And what's it like being married to someone in the spotlight?
Yeah. So when I met Colton, he had just gotten off of American Idol. He was number 7. He went on the tour. He got signed that year. And it was like this wild thing, honestly, that I'd never been around. But I believe it was a responsibility that he had. He had worked really hard before that in music. He was really diligent. And so I believe that prepared him for when he had that platform. And he really took it and ran with it. And I believe that's his purpose. Sees his purpose as ministering through music. And he's never gotten off of that. And I think that's what kind of attracted me to him, was his drive and his focus with that, and feeling like I could be a part of that and support that. But being married to somebody, you know, he travels full time and there's a lot of demands. It's like 24/7. He can get emails and texts and calls and was running a couple different businesses. It's a lot, but God's great. His grace is sufficient. And I feel like I'm built for it. I can go with the flow. I have to be so fluid because I can get a call an hour before I'm supposed to leave for a flight. Hey, can you actually stay there? I'm just going to come in. Sure. I just learned, though, that I just try to keep the priority the priority. What are we here to do? What is our purpose? And what's my purpose in this? And sometimes that's prayer. Sometimes that's listening. Sometimes that's cooking, making a peaceful thing at home, taking care of the kids, making a soft landing spot for him. And yeah, a lot of it I also believe is prayer.
Do you travel with him?
I used to travel full time. For 4 years, I traveled with him full time, which doesn't really happen, actually. It's kind of a unique thing. But once I had the girls, I got off the road. But we go sometimes. Like, sometimes we do.
I can understand. That would be a lot with kids. They're in school. Are they homeschooled or they actually go to a school?
We homeschool right now. They don't start kindergarten until next year, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure the age. How old are they?
They just turned 5.
Oh, that's such a sweet age.
Yes, it's so sweet. And they've been all over. They've been all over the country. They've been several countries outside of the country, and they've had a lot of cool experiences. Still, their favorite place is Disney.
Oh my gosh, what kid is it? We just got back from there. It's magical. And I'm like, how did they make these rides? I'm looking up in wonder. It is pretty incredible. And think about it, as a child and as a kid, I would just love to be in their minds at that point when they see these rides and everything. I went there as a kid, but I don't remember. How do you stay connected as a couple when he travels? What do you guys have different things that you do?
Thankfully, we're in an age of communication. We FaceTime, we FaceTime with the girls, text, call. It's just kind of anything that we can. I think we're still figuring out that rhythm and everything. No 2 days are the same, so staying on the same page and prioritizing it looks different kind of sometimes different days.
It does for everybody. Every marriage goes through different seasons. What have been some rhythms or practices that have helped keep Christ at the center of your relationship?
I think prioritizing going to church when you can, staying on that same page. And I also think I think a lot of it is your personal devotion, even individually. It kind of keeps, you know, when we're both really seeking God, you're less quick to be so sensitive about something or to take something personally. You kind of like take the high road. And I feel like two mature individuals have a better situation, have a better marriage. And praying together is also a big one too.
I like what you said about spending time with God individually. That's so important that we have a personal relationship with him ourselves and that we don't rely on our spouse, but we do come together and pray and read the Bible, but we also have our own quiet time with the Lord.
Do you have any insight on that, on practices you guys do?
I start my day with the Lord. Before I meet with people, I want to meet with my Lord and Savior. He fills me up. You brought that up before. In a roundabout way, you said that you can't be poured out unless you've been filled up. And he's the one that fills me up. Because I can be harsh with my words. I can be impatient. I can do all these things in my human flesh. But with his spirit empowering me, I can do things that I could never do on my own. So I do spend time with him. I study the Bible by myself. My husband's a preacher. So he has a great understanding of the Bible. He studied it for many years. So I do ask him and we do talk about the Bible together. We do pray together. We hold hands every night. That's how we fall asleep. It's so cheesy, but we do. In this season of my life and after my fall and everything, my goal every day is to keep my eyes fixed upon Jesus. Because when we take our eyes off of him, we're setting ourselves up for pain, destruction, because sin leads to destruction and a lot of heartache. So every day it's like, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I want to have my will and my heart's desires surrendered to him. We do spend time together reading the Bible and praying, but we also do it individually. He gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm still sleeping. So I will not be joining him in his prayer time and reading the Bible at 3 a.m. My clock doesn't work that early. You have your own music out. I didn't even know you could sing. I love your voice. It is so beautiful and it has an angelic tone to it. I love it so much. Can you tell us about your journey as an artist and what inspired you to create and share your songs?
I started doing worship in church when I was like 12 and then just did all through high school, college, traveled in college. So I'd always done worship in the church and some stuff overseas and missions. And then I feel like I kind of just had this little nudge that I might put out music, but I honestly put it off for a very long time. I think I was intimidated. I think even marrying Colton, moving to Nashville, I got more intimidated, which is silly. And of course, if I could go back, I would just be more fearless. Who cares? But nonetheless, after I had the girls, I feel like I got more, just more spending time with God. Things slowed down in a way, and it started coming back up on my heart again. So I was like, you know what? It's kind of like now or never. So I reached out to a producer and got the ball rolling. And it's a humbling thing. It's outside of my comfort zone. I'm enjoying it more. I've always enjoyed it, but it just felt so, it felt like I was just really stepping out. And I have nothing to prove. I know I'm newer at recording and the writing side, but God's just been so faithful. He's brought me great people to come alongside. And it's like a journey of faith. And I feel like doing this is going to just make me more bold in other ways. I just want to keep taking steps as he tells me, whatever that is. And I don't know what all this is going to look like, but I'm just trying to be obedient. If it impacts one girl, then it's enough for me. It matters. But yeah, I've learned a lot in the process, and it has been really fun.
I'm so proud of you for stepping out of your comfort zone. That's what God wants us to do, because then his glory can shine and he can get the credit, because we know we can never do it on our own. Oftentimes he does want to stretch us because he wants us to rely on him and not on our own abilities or our own strengths or our own degree or talents. And so that just warms my heart that you are being bold and fearless and jumping, knowing that God's going to catch you. He's not going to let you fall. And you never know what he's going to do with your music, because he gave you a beautiful voice. And that's something I wish I could do. I cannot sing. You do not want to hear me sing. But I hope one day when I get to heaven that he will give me an angelic voice like you, because I will drive everybody nuts. I'll be like, I can finally sing. Praise the Lord.
So awesome.
I love music. How do you balance your creative calling, this passion and this desire that I do believe is from God? He gave you a voice and a unique gift, with the demands of motherhood and marriage.
Yeah, I think it goes back to time management, priorities, like systems. That's just what's worked for me. So even if it's like, I make sure I get 20 minutes in on this, 30 minutes of practice on this, or if I'm like being really hardcore, there was a season where I was thinking about it the other day, how I feel like I was in a really good place, but I would do no TV or movies like all week. So once the girls were asleep, I'm listening to a podcast or a book, even while I'm cleaning. And I wasn't on social media very much. And then like weekends, I'd be like, okay, I can watch a show or chill for a second. You know what I think it is? They say like at the end of the day is we have like decision fatigue. It's when people might not be in the best decision-making place, right? So I feel like with motherhood, you get really you do get tired. If I make that decision on the spot, like, oh, I'm just going to sit. Like if I'm making the decision, if I'm going to like read a book that's going to challenge me, or scroll social media, I'm probably going to be scrolling over the book in that moment. So I have to be like ahead of time, find it. And it might be like for 30 days, I'll do this, or for 3 months, I'm going to commit to this. And then I have to change it up so it doesn't get monotonous, or just depending on what the priorities are. But I feel like if I create those systems and kind of like those challenges for me, that's what keeps me. 20 minutes a day reading is actually a really big deal versus like, I'm going to read for 3 hours one day and then not read for like, it's just like those habits that are helping you grow. Even if it's steady, at least you're growing and you know that. Does that make sense?
It makes complete sense. Yes. What message do you hope women take away from your life?
Oh man. Seek God, know him. I want to turn people to him. I want to exude his love and just for people to turn their eyes to him.
I can feel it in this interview. I can feel your love for Jesus. And I think you're a wise woman, a woman of grace, a woman of compassion and of love and of empathy. And it's been a pleasure. This interview, I'm so excited about it because I can hear his hand on your life. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do with you.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. I will say a key component too, as we're talking, is the people in your life, the people you spend time with. You know, with girlfriends, it can be, as we get older, it's hard. It kind of changes, and that's okay. But I've really asked the Lord for good friends, and he's just put these people in my life. And we're not like hanging out every day, but I just see how there's just like key friendships. And I just so grateful because you do become who you're around. Mm. It's also important what's in front of us and what we're looking at all the time. We become who we're around. So I see it as if I'm seeing a friend, it's not just fun time. It's like still investment time, like iron sharpening iron. I think that's really important to value those things where you can.
That's so important. I was reminded of the verse that we're to choose our friends wisely because the way of the wicked will lead us astray. And what you said, we do become like our friends. I remember my grandma always used to say that. She said, Shannon, if you want to see yourself, look at your friends. And that's so true because we become who we hang around. So that's a truth bomb, Annie. Thank you. You mentioned wanting to share how God has been your source of strength. And can you take us back to a season where you really felt stretched thin and how you saw God's faithfulness carry you through that season?
Yeah, I feel like I've touched on that a little bit in terms of being a mom. But one time when I probably relied on him more than ever was after my brother passed suddenly. He was in an accident and he was 21 and I was 22 at the time. And I just watched how the faithfulness of God carried my family and I. And it was honestly kind of miraculous how we got through that just with his grace. And when that happened, I just remember being like, I'm so thankful I know God. I'm so thankful I know who he is because I just have something to stand on. I know he's going to get us through this. There wasn't a doubt in my mind. It's like, I know we're going to be okay. And by the grace of God, we were, and there's some key people in our lives and stuff, but also it's just really the testament of God. So after that, you kind of get pretty black and white about certain things. And when I'm around people that aren't Christians, I love talking about God because it's just something like I know him and I know he can reveal himself to other people. And I was having a conversation the other day with like an Uber driver and talking about God. And they're like, what kind of like respect all religions? And I'm like, that's great. I was like, I love all people too, but I need, you know, I go where the power is. And walking through that, and it's just been the one constant. You know, God is, he's the constant. It's a real deal.
Were you ever mad at God when your brother passed?
Somehow in that season, I wasn't. It's like I could see like thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came. So but I have gone through a season where I was really disappointed with God. I can say that. Which is a really bad place to be because it's like we're turning our back on the one that, and I didn't completely, but I have gone through disappointment with other things. And it took me like a couple years maybe to kind of like trust. But you know what? Sometimes you just have to choose to say, I know you're faithful. I choose to see you faithful. And I've watched through people walk through some very intense things where I don't know how they get through it, but I just know sometimes I think, say, I call you faithful. I'm going to make a choice. I think there's something to that faith and we don't understand everything. Mm-hmm. I think that's hard for us sometimes. Some things are for him and some things he shows us. I think it's a choice. I think there's a lot of power in that. I think he's going to back us up if we're going to say, Lord, I'm just going to choose to call you faithful. I'm going to need you to help me with this. I think he's going to help us with it.
I can totally relate about being, I call it disillusioned. I have been so disappointed by God. I've been in tears. I have question asking him, Lord, why not this? Why that? Why did you do this? Why didn't you open that door? Why did you keep this from me? I'm keeping my hands clean, especially in modeling. I didn't understand his ways. But after years, he showed me that his thoughts are not my thoughts and his ways are not my ways. And sometimes we have to release wanting to know why he does what he does, because sometimes we'll never know. We have to release wanting to understand him because we never will. We have a finite mind when his mind is infinite. And that's been a great release for me because I like to try to figure things out and I always try to figure out God and he can never be figured out. So I do understand about being greatly discouraged by him. But as I look back at my life, he has been so faithful. And what you're saying and what you're encouraging the listeners to do is to replace the lies with the truth because he is faithful. Yes. Even though we don't understand him, he's faithful. He's proven it. The gospel is filled with his faithfulness, and I've seen it in my life, and I'm sure you've seen it in your life.
Yeah. Amen.
So thank you for sharing that. If a woman is listening today feeling overwhelmed or unseen, like she doesn't have enough strength for this season, what would you want to say to her?
Go to the true source of strength. Speak it over yourself. Whatever scriptures you know or find them, and declare that over you, even when you don't feel it, especially when you don't feel it. And even ask the Lord, is there something I can do, naturally speaking, practically speaking, to help? I would lean on God, and in a practical sense, that's, like I said before, maybe even 5 minutes just with him, just anything you can do. And the enemy will fight that time, even try to make you feel like this is a waste of time. You kind of have these thoughts. Well, why am I having these thoughts? Because the enemy is going to fight that time, because it actually is so powerful. So don't disregard, well, I don't have time to like go, you know, listen to an hour of a sermon or go to, or whatever it is, but just do what you can and just get that strength in him. Pray, ask the Lord, just keep your mouth going in the direction that you want to go. I just think it's really important, especially like when you don't feel it. Like I said, I remember walking up holding one of the babies after just not sleeping for consecutive weeks through the night. Like, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, almost to the point you're just, it's almost funny how this is just so crazy. Like, how do people do this like multiple times? But I believe that was a source of strength, just choosing to speak the word instead of speaking how I felt, or, you know, speaking the word.
You have double the work, double the feeding, double the diapers, like all of it. I had that mental image of you walking up the stairs, quoting those verses, and it just made me smile.
I think knowing seasons are temporary, probably whatever you're in is probably temporary. It will lift. That's helpful to know as well.
It is, because a lot of people have lost hope. They don't necessarily see light at the end of the tunnel. So they're like, is it going to get better? Am I going to be able to experience joy again or hope again? I have a lot of women that write me that deal with shame. So I want to encourage them that Jesus despised our shame on the cross. He took care of it. And it may be a process and a daily thing that they have to be committed to doing to get to being free, but I'm a testimony that they can be delivered from the shame, because I talk about my story all of the time because of God's grace and his redemptive power that have truly set me free.
I think that goes to like our identity. We can identify with our mistakes, or we can identify with who God says we are, or we can identify with our, I'm shy. I'm identify with who God says I am. And those in Christ realities and scriptures, I think, are really important and powerful.
That's so important. I'm so thankful that when I was a young girl, my mom taught me that my identity is in my creator, Jesus Christ, because it's kept me during the mountaintop and it's kept me in the valleys, because people try to label us, or we might even try to label our own selves, but we are defined by Jesus, and we are a daughter of the King, a son of the King, an heir of the Most High. So he tells us who we are. And when we know who we are in him, we can truly become unstoppable for the kingdom of God, because we won't care what people think about us. We will have our eyes fixed upon him, and we will do whatever he tells us to do, no matter the cost, and people's opinions will have no effect on us. That is my goal every day, to not get off course and to not listen to the chatter, to be defined by who he says I am.
When you've had a lot of, you've been in positions in front of a lot of people where they're trying to put you in a box. I'm sure, you know, you've lived that out in a really public setting with enormous pressure. So you know what you're talking about.
Thank you. I always thought it was interesting in modeling. Most people had something to say about me not taking off my clothes. They thought, well, you're a model. That's one of the things you have to do. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I can choose to do that, or I don't have to. I can still model. There's lots of jobs. You can do cosmetic. You can do hair, and you can do clothes. There's lots of clothes and gowns and jewelry. You don't have to pose nude. That's part of it, but you don't have to do it. And my goal was to be one that made it by keeping my hands clean and by being honorable to the Lord, because I knew he had opened the door for me, and I did not want him to remove me because I was defiant or disobedient. Was I perfect? No. I did a few things. One was on Top Model. I shot in Wonder Bra, and after I watched it, I was like, that's not the image I want to portray. So he gently spanked me and he told me, I don't want you to do this again. I said, okay. So I didn't. But yeah, people, especially when you have a public position, people think they know you, or they want to try to tear you down. And you don't even have to have a public position anymore with social media. People become fearless behind a computer screen or their cell phone, and they will tear you down. But it's so important that we know who we are in Jesus. It all comes back to that.
Yeah. How do you deal with that when you get those negative like comments or like things like that?
I don't want to say that negative comments don't hurt, because words do hurt. They hold power to them. And I just wrote a post about that. Actually, our mouths are an unruly evil, and without the Spirit's power, we can't tame them. So I have to remember that when I hear negative comments, read negative comments. People have been brutal to me, literally brutal. They've wanted to tear me apart. I feel like the devil's almost used them to try to get me off course and try to keep me silent and try to keep me hidden so that I wouldn't come out into the light and to share and to give my testimony. And so I remind myself of who I am in Jesus Christ. He defines who I am. I'm his masterpiece. And what has been so freeing to me, it makes me cry every time I talk about it, but it didn't go from my head into my heart until a couple of years ago after my fall, that he fully loves me and he fully knows me. So he knows the worst about me. He knows my thoughts from afar. He knows what I'm going to do before I even do it. He sees my life laid out before his very eyes, and he loves me so incredibly much. And I used to do things to earn his love. I was a little bit of a performer. I thought that if I did certain things, he would love me. And if I didn't do certain things, he would love me more. And so my identity became in my performance, and we can only perform for so long. Eventually, we're going to crash and burn. So now I truly rely on his grace, but it's been freeing, because this podcast doesn't have to do anything. I don't have to be on another cover of a magazine. I don't have to have anybody know my name. I'm trying to make his name known. And I want to do things because I want to fulfill his purpose and his calling for my life. But my identity is truly in him. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it's so good. It's powerful.
Thank you. Let's do a fun mom question. What's the funniest thing Dior and Athens have done lately? I think kids are so funny. They say the darndest things. They crack me up. I watch kids in our children's ministry and they make me laugh. So do you have anything that they've done or said?
Oh, yes. I mean, I feel like I have to write them down sometimes. Well, lately I showed them pictures of when I was pregnant with them. And I'll say, look, you were in my tummy. I wasn't thinking. Their little brains work right now. They're like, wait, how do we get out? And I had a question. So I'm like, oh, like the doctor. And then they're like, but how? And I'm like, oh no. And so, you know, at one point I'm like, the doctor got you out. And then one of them goes, oh, that's not good. And then they're like, what did they use to get us out? And they just keep, and at one point they said, did he use a pizza cutter?
Oh my goodness. They're so cute, kids.
Anyways, it was just like these questions. And then they keep asking. I'm just like, oh, there's doctor tools. But yeah, they're very inquisitive right now, which is really good. And sometimes if I get stumped on a question, I'm like, Holy Spirit, help me, like how to answer this.
Are they similar with personalities? Is one outgoing and one shy? Are they both outgoing?
Sometimes it switches on who's more talkative, honestly. They definitely have different personalities and a lot of similarities too. But they say like with baby A, they're typically more like a firstborn, and baby B is typically more like secondborn. And I do see that. Like one of them is real calm and just kind of does what she's told, like just so sweet. And then the other one's kind of silly, just kind of like all over the place. But they're like have such a sweet bond. They have like a special twin bond thing. They don't like to be away from each other for very long.
Oh, they're like best friends.
They're like best friends, yes.
Aw, they'll have a friend for life. I love that.
I know, I love that too. Sweet.
What's a favorite date night with Colton and you while no one's traveling?
We're like foodies. We like to try a cool restaurant. I feel like that's our thing. And kind of like no matter where we are, if we are able to do it, we'll find a cool restaurant. Maybe just sitting, eating, talking. We're pretty chill. We kind of have different. I'm more like outdoorsy, adventurous, and he's more, I don't know, like to shop or like whatever. So we're actually kind of different. So that's one thing we enjoy together.
If you could describe this season of your life in one word, what would it be?
Consistency was my word for the year.
That's a good word. I like it.
That, yes, I'm getting that. I'm getting better and better every day. Yeah, I would say that. Just learning to be consistent.
I want people to be able to follow you and get a hold of you. Do you have an email you can share with my listeners, or how they can follow you on Instagram, see what you're doing with your music, because it's incredible?
Yeah. On Instagram, it's just Annie Dixon _. TikTok's the same. And then all my music's on Spotify or Apple, any of that, just under Annie Dixon, Dixon. Yeah, you can DM me anytime. I'm pretty good at checking them. It might take me a second, but I'll get to it. But I would love to chat or connect.
You're like one of the sweetest people. I love it. I do have a random question. Are you and Colton, will you guys sing together or record together? Your voices are amazing.
We have sung together on tour before when I was out a lot.
I need to go to the tour sometime. I'm going to find a city in my area, or if it's not in my area, I'm going to give you a big hug and I'll be your biggest fan front and center.
Oh, I would love it so much. That would be a blast.
I love your heart. I have learned so much in this interview. You're an amazing person. You are truly a beauty inside and out. And I'm so thankful that the Lord allowed me to cross your path over a decade ago. And now he's bringing you on this podcast. And I hope to meet you one day face-to-face soon.
Likewise. And it's such an honor. And I've loved hearing from you as well. You have some really cool experience. And I feel like you've had some tests with being in different scenarios. And it's just really powerful, the choices that you've made, Shannon. I just have so much respect for you. Aww. And nobody's perfect, but you've passed many tests in areas that I don't think a lot of people would have. And I don't think a lot of people do. It's just so respectful, and it means you respectable, and it makes you stand out.
Thank you. That made me teary-eyed. I do try to obey, and I was definitely mad at myself for doing what I did, but I'm just thankful that God can redeem even our worst chapters. And I cling to Romans 8:28, that he will work all things together for my good, because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you being here.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember, when life feels out of focus, there is always one who brings clarity. We'll see you next time.